وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوصيد لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا وكذلك بعثناهم ليتساءلوا بينهم قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فبعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا.
Almighty Allah mentioning His special favor upon His chosen servants, Ashabul Kahf, those youngsters of the cave. Allah mentioned, addressing Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ,
that, O Nabi of Allah, had you seen them, you would have been under the impression, أَيْقَاظًا, that they were awake, وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ, whilst they were fast asleep. This was one way wherein Almighty Allah preserved their bodies and protected it from anyone coming near this body. قال بعض السلف, some of the ulama have written to such an extent that they slept in such a way that their eyes were wide awake. We can imagine how frightening the scene must have been. A group of seven people sleeping, huge in size, hidden in a cave, while their eyes are wide open.
وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ,
and the scene was so frightening that if you had to see them, you would have think that these people are awake, and because they are awake, no one will have the guts of approaching them. They are watching us. وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ, whereas they were asleep, not for a month or a year, as we discussed, for 3 centuries they were sleeping in this very same manner.
وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ,
and Almighty Allah mentions that we turn them on their right and on their left side. Why?
كَيْ لَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَرْضُ مَا عَلَيْهَا مِنْ أَبْدَانِهِمْ كَمَا أَخْرَجَهُ سَعِيدُ بْنُ مَنْسُورٍ,
so that the insects of the earth must not feed on that particular body. Allah preserved and protected their bodies in such a way, and how much they used to turn, the malaika used to come. According to one quotation of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُقَلَّبُونَ فِي كُلِّ سِتَّةِ أَشْهُرٍ مَرَّةٍ, that the malaika used to come and turn them once every 6 months, that leaves you with twice a year. And another narration there is, يُقَلَّبُونَ فِي كُلِّ سَنَةٍ مَرَّةٍ وَذَلِكَ يَوْمَ عَاشُورَ, that the malaika used to come and turn their bodies from one side to the other, ذَاتِ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتِ الشِّمَالِ, to the right and to the left, once a year, and this was done on the day of Ashura. Now some of the ulama of the opinion that the turning was not done to protect their bodies from the insects, and for the simple reason, like Allama Arifi rahmatullah alayhi writes in his tafsir Ruh al-Ma'ani,
وقال الإمام إنه عجيب فإن الله تعالى الذي قدر على أن يبقيهم,
that this is very difficult to comprehend, because that Allah who has the ability of enabling them or allowing them to sleep for 300 years without a morsel of food and a sip of water, is it not possible for Allah, قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ حِفْظِ أَبْدَانِهِمْ أَيْضًا مِنْ غَيْرِ تَقْلِيبٍ, can Allah then not protect that body from insects without turning them? So some ulama of the opinion that it was to protect them from insects, and the best opinion of many of the ulama has mentioned that Allah in His wisdom knows best why He did this. But this was how Allah protected them, and this is how the help of Almighty Allah came with them, because they gave preference and priority to the deen of Almighty Allah.
وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ,
and Allah speaks about something very unusual in this particular incident of the Quran, and Allah highlights this. What does Allah mention?
وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ,
their dog, and the dog stretching forth its two forelegs on the threshold. In other words, the Ashabi Kahf, the people of this cave, they had a dog with them. Some ulama of the opinion that the dog refers to a lion, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on one occasion he made baddu'a and he cursed someone, and he made dua to Allah saying, Allahumma sallit alayhi kalbam min kilabik fastaratahu asadun. Oh Allah, impose one of your azab, one of your dogs, on so and so. And this person was destroyed by a lion. But although many of the ulama are of the opinion annahu al-haywan al-ma'roof al-nabah, that it refers to the dog. Now what was the incident of this dog? Sahab Akhbar rahmatullah alayhi writes that these people were walking, and as they were coming close to the cave to take shelter, marru bihi, they passed by this dog. فَتَبِعَهُمْ, this dog started following them. فَتَرَدُوهُ, they chased the dog, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, مَنِقْتَنَا كَلْبًا, in Bukhari Sharif, مَنِقْتَنَا كَلْبًا لَيْسَ بِكَلْبِ صَيْدٍ أَوْ مَاشِيَةٍ نُقِسَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْ عَمَلِهِ قِيرَاتًا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ قِيرَاتٌ. That person who keeps a dog as a pet for no protection or not for any hunting reasons, just to keep it as a pet, like a person would keep a bird as a pet or a cat as a pet, etc. If a person keeps a dog as a pet, نُقِسَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ, every day a certain fraction of his sawab and reward will be deducted. Why? Because Almighty Allah Himself has created this animal, and He has referred to this animal as napak and as impure. So it is not permissible for a person. On one occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, O Nabi of Allah, I will meet you tomorrow at this time. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, awaiting the arrival of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't arrive. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam much worried, what has happened, why hasn't Jibreel come? Of course, Jibreel was the closest friend of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was that person via whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had linked with wahi all the time. قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to come down with wahi. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, after a certain period, he came and he stood outside. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, Oh Jibreel, what is the reason? He says, Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you are unaware, but beneath your bed there is a puppy, and it is not correct for us to enter into any such home wherein there is a dog. My Ustad one day mentioned example or story of a person that when this was mentioned to him that the angel doesn't come in that home wherein the dog is there. So mocking at this hadith, he says that I will keep a dog with me so that no angel can come and take my soul, so I'll never die. So he asked this question to one alim, and he told this to one alim that I'll never die. So the alim asked him why. He says, because you say that the angel won't come near a place where there's a dog, and I keep the dog with me. So the alim said very beautifully, he said, that angel that will take the soul of the dog will take your soul also. So what happens in this instance, that how was it permissible for these people who were so pious, and Allah speaks about them in the Quran, how come they had a dog? The answer of that is very clear. As they changed this dog and they were moving, this dog started insisting on following them. And the dog spoke, مَا تُرِيدُونَ مِنِّي, what do you want from me? Why are you chasing me? Don't fear me. أَنَا أُحِبُّ أَحِبَّاءَ اللَّهِ, I love those that are the beloved of Allah. And I want to take on the company of those that are the chosen servants of Allah. فَنَامُ, so you can sleep. أَنَا أَحْرُسُكُمْ, and I will protect you. So the answer is given clearly that this dog was there for protection, which is permissible. Likewise, that dog which Allah speaks about in the sixth juz of the Quran, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا أَمْسَكْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ وَاذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. That dog that you use for hunting, which is trained, and كَلْبَ الْمُعَلَّمْ, the dog that has the knowledge, in other words, how to attack the game. So much so, ulama have written that knowledge is such a great commodity, it is such a great wealth, that when knowledge is found in a dog also, it upgrades and uplifts the standard of that dog. That dog which has the knowledge of attacking the game, thereafter that dog should be left on the name of Allah. In other words, when you see that animal, you let go, you release your dog by taking the name of Allah, There are many conditions before it will be correct for you to eat from that animal. When the dog, the tame dog, and the trained dog, the learned dog, what we would say, arrives at that and attacks that particular game, the dog should not eat from that particular animal at all. If it happens to eat from that animal, then it is not correct for you to eat from that animal. From this, the ulama ikram explain how great is the quality of sincerity, that when it captures that animal, it mustn't capture it for itself, but for its master. So much ikhlas it should have, the knowledge that how it should capture that animal. Thereafter, the dog can only be released on the name of Allah. In fact, in one hadith it comes, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, if you release your dog on the name of Allah, and thereafter another dog comes, and these two dogs attack this animal, then you cannot eat from that animal, because you only read the name of Allah on your dog, and the other dog did happen to assist your dog, the name of Allah was not recited, so that animal will not be halal for you. Subhanallah, how great is the name of Allah. So as I was mentioning, a dog for hunting, or a dog to protect your belongings and possession, etc., is permissible. Other than that, to keep the dog as a pet is not permissible. These people had the dog for protection, as it's clearly mentioned in the quotation which I just narrated before you. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. So the dog was in front. We can picture how frightening it was, so much so that Almighty Allah mentions to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا. When you look at them, O Nabi of Allah, you would have certainly turned back from them in flight. You would have escaped from their ass, we could say, with a speed of 120. وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. And you would have been filled with terror and fear and awe. We can imagine, just picture this, hidden in one cave, seven men, huge in size, sleeping for centuries with their eyes wide open, a dog in front of them, the dog is protecting them at the threshold, protecting them, and this whole scene, we can just picture how frightening it is to see a man sleeping with his eyes open. We very well know sometimes when the deceased is there and the eyes are open, a little portion, it is so frightening, that is why the eyes are closed immediately. So this dog, the ulama have written on this occasion in the tafsir, many things have been written here. The ulama have mentioned that the company of the pious is so great that in Tafsir Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Alusi Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned the quotation of Khalid ibn Ma'adan, that he mentions, لَيْسَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنَ الدَّوَابِ إِلَّا كَلْبُ أَصْحَابِ الْكَهْفِ وَحِمَارُ بَلْعَمْ وَرَأَيْتُ فِي بَعْضِ الْكُتُبِ أَنَّ نَاقَةَ صَالِحْ وَكَبْشُ إِسْمَاعِيلَ أَيْضًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That in Jannah there will be no animals with the exception of the dog of the people of the cave and the donkey of Bal'am. And in some kitabs, so much has been written, أن ناقة صالح, that the camel of Salih عليه الصلاة والسلام and the ram of Ismail عليه الصلاة والسلام will also be in Jannah. والله أعلم بالصواب. But so much Allah had rewarded whether this animal will be in Jannah or not. This much status is unanimously agreed by every learned scholar of Islam, that Allah has given place to this dog in the Quran. This itself is a great status. That is why Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the learned scholar of Islam, Nu'man ibn Thabit, such a learned and a pious person, he used to mention, أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. In Hidayat al-Nahwa, these couplets are there. He mentions that, I love the pious, although I'm not amongst the pious. Allahu Akbar. Such a learned and a pious person, he says, أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ, I love the pious, although I acknowledge and I must accept the fact that I am nowhere near the pious. وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي صَلَاحًا. But I pray to Allah that on the basis of my love that I have for the pious, that may some of their piety rub off onto me. This is the dua that I'm making to Allah. One person comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, O Nabi of Allah, مَتَى السَّاعَةَ, when is Qiyamah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him the first question, مَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. You want to know when is Qiyamah, but what preparations have you made for Qiyamah? He says, O Nabi of Allah, I haven't made much preparations, but I love Allah and Allah's Nabi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَنْتَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ, you are with that being with whom you love, and that is the glad tidings that you will be resurrected with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this dog took the company of the pious persons, the learned scholars of Islam. Almighty Allah mentions for the very same reason in the Quran,
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين.
Oh, you who believe, fear Allah.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين,
and be with those people who are pious and who are obedient to Almighty Allah.
Almighty Allah rewarded these people so much so that in one tafsir I read
that while they were taking shelter in this cave, the king happened to make inquiries regarding them, and someone mentioned that they had taken shelter in so and so cave,
and he happened to come there and he intended to enter. فَلَمْ يَتِقْ أَحَدْ,
no one could enter in this cave.
So one of the men of the king mentioned to him,
أَلَيْسَ لَوْ كُنْتَ قَدَرْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَتَلْتَهُمْ,
if you could get hold of them, what would you have did to them?
So he mentions, I would have beheaded them, I would have assassinated them, I would have killed them.
So this person suggested to the king,
فَبْنِ عَلَيْهِمْ بَابَ الْكَهْفِ,
why don't you do this?
Build a wall there.
Why?
وَدَعْهُمْ يَمُوتُ جُوعًا وَعَبَشًا,
so they can die inside there out of hunger and thirst.
وَلْيَكُنْ كَهْفُهُمْ قَبْرًا لَهُمْ,
so that the very same cave wherein they take shelter can become their grave for them.
فَفَعَلَ, so what he did was, he built a wall there and he left them there, he says they can die there.
Almighty Allah speaking about this,
لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلْئِتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا,
how Allah protected them and Allah preserved their bodies, that so much so that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions,
غَذَوْنَا مَعَ مُعَاوِيَةً,
we went with Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu,
نَحْوَ الرُّوم,
towards Rome.
فَمَرَرْنَا بِالْكَهْفِ الَّذِي فِيهِ أَصْحَابُ الْكَهْفِ الَّذِينَ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ,
we passed the cave wherein the people of the cave were resting.
That particular cave, Ashab al-Kahf, those people, we passed by that very same cave, by that very same cave.
So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said,
let us go and investigate, and we can inquire, and we can go and have a look at this cave. Perhaps we can see those people's bodies there, or we can see some signs of what Allah speaks about in the Quran.
So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions,
لَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لَكَ,
قَدْ مَنَعَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى ذَلِكَ مَنْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنْكَ,
Allah has prohibited us from going there, because Allah addressed His Nabi by mentioning,
لَوِتْ طَلَعَتَ عَلَيْهِمْ,
O Nabi of Allah, if you had to go, you would have turned away.
So if Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot go, then how can we go?
But Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said that, no, I want to go, and he took this ayat for the limited period that it meant, perhaps had you been present in that time, O Nabi of Allah, when they existed, and after their demise, it is permissible to go and have a look at them.
As Muawiyah radiallahu anhu approached this person, approached this cave,
Almighty Allah sent a heavy wind, because of which they could see nothing, and only this much he has seen, according to the tafsir of Ruh al-Ma'ani, that he's seen seven bodies, and from there he used to mention to the people, he used to inform the people,
وَكَانَ يُخْبِرُ النَّاسَ,
he used to inform the people that the figure of the Ashab al-Kahf was sab'atun, that was seven people.
Now Almighty Allah, after mentioning this whole thing,
Allah explains, like we have discussed on several occasions, that the Quran is not a storybook. It's not there just to give us the information and to update us of the people of such an incident that transpired.
No, Almighty Allah mentions now,
وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ,
أي كَمَا أَنَمْنَاهُمْ هَذِهِ الْأَنَامَةَ الطَّوِيلَةَ,
in the very same way we raised them and we gave them life from their sleep.
How? Like how we gave them sleep, likewise, just as their sleep was our qudrat, likewise once again giving them life was our qudrat.
لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ,
so they start questioning one another.
قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ,
they started asking one another, how long were we sleeping? How long were we resting?
Subhanallah,
they slept for over 3 centuries.
The question arises, when they got up, were they aware that it was 3 centuries?
Or was it a similar incident of the nature of Uzair alayhi salatu was salam,
that after sleeping for 100 years, he thought he slept for one day?
It was 100 years,
here we are speaking of someone that slept for 300 years.
When they got up, were they aware of this or not?
The answer will be given to us inshallah.
They waited after 300 years, they got the answer.
Let us wait till tomorrow and get the answer.
We may go to the Almighty Allah that He gives us the ability to take the great moral of this lesson.
The moral of this lesson is to understand the Qudrat of Allah, the power of Allah, and not to discuss where it happened and the time and the century and who was the king and that. These are just by the way. The thing is that this is the taqat and this is the power and this is the might of Almighty Allah. These are several signs that Allah is mentioning in the Quran. Every chapter has a different incident that Allah highlights for man to understand His greatness and His power and His Qudrat. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He gives us the ability to recognize the power of Allah, the Qudrat of Allah, the might of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, the Kamal and the Jamal of Allah, and at all times to attribute everything to Allah.
وكذلك بعثناهم ليتساءلوا بينهم قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فبعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا.
We were discussing that the time approached for them to awaken from this long sleep. Almighty Allah mentioned, وَكَذَٰلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ. Just as He made them sleep was a miracle, likewise once again giving them life to turn up from this sleep was also a miracle.
لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ.
To question one another.
قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ.
One of them asked, how long were we sleeping for? As we mentioned yesterday, that were they aware of the long sleep that they had, or were they of the nature of Uzair alayhi salatu wa salam? So what did they mention?
قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ.
We slept for half a day or one day. Subhanallah, what is the miracle that Almighty Allah grants them a sleep as long as 3 centuries? Thereafter, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them life. And the third miracle is that the reality of this is not revealed to them. They slept so long, one is they slept so long, and after they get up, they are aware that, look, we've been sleeping for ages. This itself is an additional miracle indicating and confirming the Qudrat and the might of Almighty Allah. While discussing this, a thought just flashes through my mind. Allah is explaining to man how free and how liberal Allah is in deciding what He wants to, when He wants to, how He wants to. He decided that they will sleep for 300 years so they can sleep for 300 years. Without food, without drink, without anything, Almighty Allah is making them sleep. And their bodies are intact, no insect is feeding on that body. We find many a times Almighty Allah cures a person without medication. And on the other hand, person is taking all types of medication, but there's no sign of cure. Allah is that being that created from the back of Azar. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, created from the back of Azar, who was an idol merchant. Allah created Khalilur Rahman, subhanallah, that person who was promoting idol worship and who actually was an idol merchant. Allah created in his house that person who was to become the friend of Almighty Allah, who was to become the Khalil of Almighty Allah, who was to become the Sadiq of Almighty Allah. So Allah Paak is explaining that when I wanted them to sleep, I allowed them to sleep. When I wanted them to stand up, I allowed them, I made them stand up. No one can question my action. No one has a right to point a finger to any of my decision and any of my amr.
قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم.
Thereafter themselves they came to the conclusion that look, your Allah knows that. But their argument wasn't regarding 1 century or 2 centuries. The argument was half a day or one day. Allahu Akbar. A person sleeps early after Isha and he gets up for the time, sleeps for 9 hours or 8 hours, especially now. What happens when he gets up in the morning? He says, I had a long sleep. You slept for 9 hours, 8 hours, 7 hours, tell us say 10 hours. Ya, person is sleeping for 3 centuries. Allahu Akbar, it is beyond the comprehension of the human mind. And they are disputing whether it was half a day or one day.
قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فبعثوا أحدكم لورقكم هذه إلى المدينة.
Now, let's do something constructive by us sitting and discussing what was the exact figure of our sleep, the duration. It's pointless because if you slept for half a day, then if someone is going to say one day, it's not going to make the half a day sleep into one day. Whatever time we slept for, we slept for. Whether it is half a day or one day, it is in vain discussing this issue. Let us do something constructive which can benefit us now. At the moment we are hungry, so let's make some arrangements for food. Now, فَبَعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. These coins that are yours, like Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi writes in Ruh al-Ma'ani, looks like he presented these coins because he says that take these coins. In other words, they presented these coins and one of you go to the city nearby and go to the shop. Subhanallah, excessive hunger. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. But first look for halal food, that which is lawful and almighty. Allah had made it permissible for us to eat. Person is so hungry. We know what is our condition. If we are hungry for 8 hours, 10 hours, what happens after that? Yeah, hunger for centuries. But what was the first thing? فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. Look for halal food. Well and good, if it is halal also and it is tasty, then we've got no problem. But if it is halal and it is not tasty, no problem, we will accept that, but provided it is halal. Respected listeners, at this juncture, while we are discussing this great quality that was found in these people, I think it will be of utmost importance for us to elaborate on the issue of halal and haram, for indeed, a person's amal, his actions, are based according to his income. If a man's income will be halal, then inshallah via that food, Allah will grant him strength to make the ibadat of Almighty Allah. And if his income is not halal, then the chances of him making the ibadat of Almighty Allah, are very few. The ulama ikram have written, many a times we are not lying in our businesses, we are not deceiving in our businesses, we are not taking interest, but a defect comes in our income because of some other reason, weakening the strength of our income, and of course it then results in the weakness of our ibadat and our amal. In one kitab I read in Tanbih al-Ghafirin, the ulama have written, من أراد أن يكون كسبه طيبا فعليه أن يحفظ خمسة أشياء. That person that wants his income to be halal, he should guard 5 things. Respected businessmen out there, let us listen attentively. He mentioned first thing, أَلَّا يُؤَخِّرَ شَيْئًا مِّنْ فَرَائِذِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِأَجْلِ الْكَسْبِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُ النُّقْصَ فِيهَا. That because of business, there shouldn't be any harm coming to his deen. And he should not, never mind not only harm, أَلَّا يُؤَخِّرَ شَيْئًا, he should not delay any amr of Allah. In other words, one is, that because at the time of Dhuhr Salah, it is business, it is a very peak hour, and there are a lot of customers in the shop. So anyway, we will attend to the customers, we will perform our Salah, not Qaza, within the Salah time, but we will delay it. In other words, there will be no Jama'at. We will be depriving ourselves of Jama'at, or perhaps we will be making Jama'at at the shop, and depriving ourselves of the Jama'at of the Masjid when the Masjid is nearby. This is also weakening the strength of that income. وَلَا يَدْخُلَ النُّقْصَ فِيهَا. And no deficiency should come in the ibadat of Allah. In other words, because it's business, it's peak hour now, so I won't read my sunnah, I'll only read faraz. So this is now weakening the salah. In other words, weakening that ibadat, there is a deficiency coming, I have not completed my salah. The second is, لَا يُؤْذِي أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِأَجْلِ الْكَسْبِ. We will not inconvenience anyone to earn our rozi, our halal income. For that we will not inconvenience any of the creation of Almighty Allah. We very well know, it is mentioned repeatedly, that when a person goes for Umrah or Hajj, then we know it is sunnah to kiss the black stone. But if there is a large crowd there, then it is preferable from a distance to make ishara, because to inconvenience someone is haram and to give the black stone is sunnah. So what ibadat is that? That to uphold a sunnah, one has to make irtikab of an evil and a major sin. He has to commit a major sin. So the second point is not to inconvenience the creation of Almighty Allah in any way. Third, أن يقصد بكسبه استعفافا لنفسه ولعياله ولا يقصد به الجمع والكثرة. That when a person is working, the intention should be, so via this wealth inshallah, I can attend to my needs and the needs of my family. I won't have to stretch my hand before anyone. And the idea of this should not be to accumulate and to amass the wealth of this dunya, so I can also have that maqam and that status in society that people see the car I drive and they see the garments I wear and the palace in which I live. This should not be one frame of mind. Instead, to make one person mustaghni anin nas, in other words, he doesn't have to stretch his hand before anyone other than Almighty Allah. Number four, Allah yajhada nafsahu fil kasbi jidda. He should not tire himself and he should not exert himself and pressurize himself or overwork himself behind this dunya. Yes, baqadri zarurat, ma yasuddu ramak, how much he needs which is necessary, he will work. Of course, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahaba also used to work. But he should not exert himself and make this the target and the aim and the goal of his life. The fourth one, Allah yara rizqahu min al-kasbi wa yara rizqa min Allah. He will make all the efforts for sustenance and rosy, but remember that it is coming from Allah and not because of his efforts. Aaj rozi to yaad rahi, lekin razzaq ko to bhool gaya. Respected listeners, we have remembered our sustenance and we are making effort for our sustenance, but Allah's qasam, we have forgotten the sustainer. We have forgotten that the amr of Allah is behind it. That is why we are eating what we are eating. We know the very famous incident of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that one servant used to bring some food to him and he used to eat from there. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's practice was that he used to always ask this person that, where did you get this food from? So on one occasion this person came with some food and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu ate from this food. Thereafter this person told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what has happened today that you did not question me, that where did I get the food from? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentioned, حَمَلَنِ الْجُوءِ, excessive hunger did not allow me to question you. I was so hungry that I just started eating. أَخْبِرْنِي مِنْ أَيْنَ جِئْتَ بِهِ, explain to me now that where did you get the food from? So he explained that I was a soothsayer in the days of ignorance prior to Islam, and someone had promised me some money because of some poetry or etc., something of that nature. And it so happened that I accepted Islam, and after accepting Islam, this person gave me this money. And with this money, I bought the food, and the food is presented to you. Or they gave me the food in lieu of the poetry or whatever the case may be. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood that the income of a soothsayer was not halal. And this person did this in the days of ignorance. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started, or he tried to spew whatever he had taken in. So much so that it comes in the kitab, حَتَّثْ وَدَّ, his face turned pale مِنَ الْجُهْدِ, because he was exerting himself and pressurizing himself. In the end, the muscles refused to come out, so he drank salt water or so much water that forced the muscle out. Thereafter he mentioned, I did all this because I heard the Apostle of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى حَرَّمَ الْجَنَّةِ, Allah has forbidden paradise for every such person whose income and whose food is haram. Respected listeners, I would like to bring to your awareness and to your notice one point of paramount importance and utmost importance. Many a time our earning is haram. Thereafter, with that haram income, we purchase food. The wife cooks it. The food is ready. The plate is presented on the dastarkhan. The children are sitting. We are sitting. And what do we mention? Allah na naam leine kajo. Take the name of Allah and eat. Respected listeners, we have the audacity to make a person majboor that take the name of Allah and eat that which is haram. Let us not be in the deception that by taking the name of Allah that haram will become halal. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى حَرَّمَ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has made Jannat forbidden on that person whose income and whose food, whose intake is haram. May Almighty Allah give us the understanding and the importance of halal income and halal rozi. Anyway, this person comes to the bazaar to purchase this item. He mentioned, فَلْيَأْتِكُمْ بِرِزْقٍ مِّنْهُ وَلْيَتَلَطَّفْ وَلَا يُشْعِرَنَّ بِكُمْ أَحَدًا. That when you go there, don't reveal yourself. He is still under the impression that it was the cruel king and they are after him. So he says that take great precaution, conceal your reality, buy this whatever we need and come away immediately. Why? إِنَّهُمْ إِن يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ. For if they should come to know about you, يَرْجُمُوكُمْ, they will thank you. أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ. Or they will force you and compel you to turn to their creed and their religion. And remember my brother, my friend, he's addressing him. وَلَنْ تُصْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. If you forsake this religion of Islam and you give up this Islam, if you accept anyone as your God, your sustainer, your nourisher other than Allah, if you accept anyone as your sustainer, your nourisher, your creator, anyone other than Allah, وَلَنْ تُصْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. And you rub your forehead before anyone other than Allah, then you will never be successful. Allama Alusi Rahmatullah Alayhi writes in Ruhul Ma'ani, the question arises here on this occasion that if a person is compelled to give up his faith at the gunpoint, وَقَلْبُهُ مُتْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. For example, if someone places a gun at you and says, deny the oneness of Allah, so it is permissible for you to say it just on the tongue but at the same time in the heart to keep the awareness that I bring Iman on Allah. Just to protect yourself, you utter that. If a person will do so, then he will not be regarded as a kafir. And immediately after this person leaves, he should recite the kalima excessively. Inshallah, Almighty Allah will regard him among the Muslimin. So the question arises that if this person was compelled to give up his faith and he uttered the kalima just to protect himself and Iman was in his heart, then he still would have been successful because Iman was in his heart. Allama Alusi Rahmatullah Ali writes in Ruhul Ma'ani that what would have happened that once he had uttered the kalima of kufr, yakunu sababan li istidraji shaytani ila istihsanihi, that the devil would have injected this evil thought that now you said that there is no Allah, sit and ponder, perhaps it's right what you say. That is why it comes in the hadith Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the devil comes to insan and he says, man khalaqa al-arda, who created the earth? So you say, Allah. Man khalaqa al-samawat, who created the skies? Allah. من خلق الشمس, who created the sun? Allah. من خلق القمر, who created the moon? Allah. من خلق السحاب, who created the clouds? Allah. فمن خلق الله, then who created Allah? إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. العياذ بالله, العياذ بالله. Allah save us from such thoughts and Allah save us from the evil attack and the onslaught of the devil. So the devil is going to then beautify the scooper and he's going to make it look apparent. That is why وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. Yes, if someone gun points you and then tells you to deny the oneness of Allah and you refuse to even utter that on your tongue because you don't want to even to utter the oneness of Allah, you derive that pleasure and it is more than your life, and in the process then you are shot and you are murdered. Then the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, من قتل دون نفسه فهو شهيد. You are a martyr and you are a shaheed and Allah has announced your forgiveness in the Quran. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. Don't label the martyrs as deceased. Indeed, they are alive. Almighty Allah is providing for them. فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله. They are pleased with the hospitality of Allah and the ikram of Allah and the izzat of Almighty Allah. May Almighty Allah give us the tawfiq and the ability to uphold this iman and this faith and to value this faith as these youth valued the faith because of which Allah gave them the dignity and the honor which Allah has given them. And at all times to ensure that the muscle that goes down our throat is nothing but of halal earning. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.